Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Tuesday, March 26th. And believe me, there's a lot going on. And when I say there's a lot going on, you know, you would expect that a day here or a day there, that it would get quiet and there wouldn't be a lot going on. But there sure is, and it just seems to never end. And for those who are worried about Trump derangement syndrome, I would be happy to have it. It would be okay. I wouldn't mind at all. But I do have to say that it's really not that. In fact, if anybody's deranged, it's obviously Donald. He's got some serious problems. And one of them, as an example, I could go on all night, but I'm going to only go on for an hour. I'm just going to say, this guy is attacking the judge's daughter, that's Judge Mershon, in the Manhattan trial that's coming up on April 15th. So here's the thing. I wouldn't imagine, and in fact, I know it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't imagine that anybody would go into a serious trial, certainly not a criminal trial anyway, and start attacking the judge, everybody in the courtroom, the judge's family. I mean, who would do that? And the answer is only somebody who is mentally ill. I mean, that's the only way you would do it. There isn't anybody. Yeah, I promise you, if you've got somebody that you know who supports Donald Trump, don't bring up Donald Trump. Just ask tonight. If you're in a serious trial in a courtroom, will you walk into the courtroom and begin to attack the judge, his family, everybody in sight, the jurors, everyone? Would you do it? And everybody's going to say, of course not. So there's only one person who would do it. And it's mental illness. There's nothing else. There's nothing smart about it. There's nothing clever about it. There's nothing highly intellectual about it. There's just no way you would do it. There's no purpose to it. If Donald Trump thinks that doing this helps his campaign, I don't know. Maybe he's looking for an increase in the amount of donations that he receives from Nazis. That might be it. It sounds like a stormtrooper kind of thing to me. And the truth is that those Nazi types, QAnon and the rest, they do like this. Oh, they think it's wonderful. And the only thing they're upset about is that there's no violence. I mean, they don't like just the words. They want the attacks, and they've seen the attacks, so they know that Donald has some things to bring to the table for these groups. So maybe that's it. Maybe this is an outreach to Nazis. That could be. And why even bring up Nazis? Well, the fact that the man reads Hitler before he goes to sleep, and that he tells the people in his administration that he admires Hitler back when he was in the White House. I think that that's probably a good reason to think that talking about Nazis would have some appropriate connection to what's going on here. Who would have ever imagined that we'd get to a time where we'd be talking about a candidate who admires Hitler. Oh, well, this one does. And again, if you don't think so, just go to YouTube. It's all over YouTube. And believe me, he told John Kelly directly. John Kelly verified it publicly. It's in the book, but anyway, this is where we're at. This is what we're dealing with. Now, the judge knew exactly what to do. He came in immediately with a gag order before the trial even gets underway on the 15th, and he's issued a gag order telling Trump that he's not allowed to attack all these different people, which, by the way, Donald has already violated. Now, the judge isn't included in this. He's kept himself out of it, which the last judge did the same thing. The idea, I guess, being they want to be fair and they want to allow Donald some latitude in saying things in the courtroom that might somehow come within the First Amendment. But I'll say this, if it comes within the First Amendment, it certainly doesn't come within anything that would suggest being a smart way to pursue your trial in the hopes of being found innocent. It certainly wouldn't be that. Now, there are no jurors yet in this case, but Donald will be attacking them immediately and threatening them, intimidating them. Of course, that's within the gag order, and it's also not acceptable. You can't do that. You can't attack jurors and intimidate them. But Donald will. And you know, somebody could say, well, that's horrible. Why would you say that about the man? He hasn't done it yet. Well, no, he hasn't done it yet. But you know what? He's doing other things that are right there. He's attacking everybody in the courtroom. I guess he's not attacking any jurors because he doesn't have any names yet. Give him some names. He'll be attacking them. He has some kind of a serious illness. Now, if you want to be funny about it, and none of this is really funny, I mean, you could say, oh, he's just trying to make this into a really great reality television show. And if that's the case, I want to submit my idea for the climax of this show, which I've brought up before, and I sort of anticipate as a possibility. And that's that Donald would think back to the old James Cagney movie, White Heat, and he would end all of this by climbing up on top of Trump Tower and diving off head first. Now, that would be a great climax for this reality television show. The problem is, that's not what we're doing here. It may be what Donald's doing. I have no idea what he's doing. I don't think anybody does. And I guarantee you that even after writing up this gag order, the judge has to go home and think to himself, what's wrong with this person? And, you know, it's sort of interesting because I remember back in 2019, I always worried that Donald Trump would get right up to the election and that he would try to sort of smooth out the edges. He would try to find a way to get himself a little bit under control so that he might get some extra votes. But don't worry. He didn't do it then, and he's not going to do it now because he's not even interested in votes. He's already said, if you supported Haley, Nikki Haley, don't vote for me. Don't give me any money. I don't want anything from you. Yeah, if you're a Nikki Haley supporter, absolutely not. Nothing. Stay away. Donald's got an illness. And the problem for us is he's attaching his illness to our country. That's the problem. Well, anyway, he sort of got taken to the cleaners yesterday. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how he did. And I don't know if he really brought this on himself or not. I guess he did. But the point is clear. He really doesn't know what he's doing. And I know I heard people talking today about how his lawyers are really good. They know what they're doing. Well, they don't quite know what they're doing. They got the judge very upset yesterday when they were saying that these excess documents that they have to evaluate are a result of prosecutorial misconduct, and therefore they want this whole case thrown out. Judge said, wait a minute. Do you have some evidence for those allegations? Absolutely not, of course. They have no evidence. So then the judge was upset because this is supposed to be a courtroom. This is not Donald's television show. And the fact is that the person or people who delayed the document were Donald's lawyers. They knew those documents were sitting there, and they waited until the last minute to ask for them so they could then turn around and disingenuously claim foul against the prosecutors. Anyway, the judge figured it out really quickly. He knew. And he told them, don't do this because I'm not going for it. And he was pretty angry. But beyond that, there are other problems that Donald and his brilliant lawyers caused themselves yesterday. And one of them has to do with the previous $450 million that was ordered to be put up by the court and then was quieted down by an appeals court that said, make it $175 million. But see, here's where there's the trick in all of this. And I didn't know why this happened. I thought my initial reaction was like everybody else. We're getting tired of this. And so, you know, a lot of people thought these people caved in to Trump. They just gave him what he wanted. No, not really. In fact, it appears, having looked at everything later on and heard what some of the real experts are explaining, that the appeals court saw that Donald had no money. Man's broke. And they decided, let's make it $175 million because if he comes up with that, then at least the state of New York will get its hands on $100 million. That will be assured. So that's the first part. Because a lot of people, and I understand why, and I sort of feel it in my gut, but a lot of people look at this and they say, where's the justice? But see, this is a civil trial, and this is not somewhere where we're supposed to get the justice. New York is supposed to get the money. We don't get the justice. This is money for New York because New York was defrauded by a criminal. But it's still civil. It's about the money. So first, they saw this opportunity to possibly nail down a couple hundred million dollars. And I say possibly because Donald may not have that much money. He may not have access to that much money. He may not be able to get a bond for that money. He might get it. I mean, look, I always said all Donald had to do is call Vladimir Putin, say, look, I need $500 million. It's a great investment. You will own the United States of America if I'm elected president. And it's a lot cheaper for you to buy the United States of America for $500 million than to, first of all, get in a war with us. It's a waste of time. You're not going to win. Nobody is. And the second thing is, it's a lot cheaper in adjusted dollars than what was paid for the Louisiana Purchase. So the Russians can own us. All they have to do is get Donald elected. Put up a $500 million bond. Everything's fine. People have said to me, well, that can't happen because we'll see it. We'll be able to figure it out. And we'll know it was Donald making a deal with Putin. And then they'll all be in trouble. Well, maybe. But in any event, that's not the way they played it at the appeals court in New York. And here's what they did instead. After they came up with this $175 million deal, they went to Donald and they said, we'll give you this deal. $175 million instead of $500 million. Here's what we want. Normally, in the appeals process for these civil cases, you would have 9 months to come up with a final written appeal that you would turn in, and as they call it, it would be perfected. That would be an appeal that was in front of the court, and now they could make decisions based on your briefs. But the court said, no, we're not going to wait that long. Here's what we're willing to do. We'll give you to July. So if you want the $175 million, we want this entire appeal that you're going to write, we want it in by July, not September, July. So Donald and his pals decide to take it. But they were actually taken because we all know that their entire process that they want to follow is very simple. They got one goal. Delay everything. Delay it as far as you can. Well, sorry. They didn't get the delay. What they got is 3 months less for this appeal process. And all of these courts are going to be pushing to move these things along. Okay, not Aileen Cannon in Florida. She won't, because she's got some other deal with Donald. I don't know what it is. Maybe Donald wants to put her on the Supreme Court. But it doesn't matter. He's not going to be president. However, other places, they will try to push this along. And certainly in Washington, D.C., they will. Judge Chutkan there will push this thing as fast as possible. In the Georgia case, Fannie Willis, she is saying she is going to push this as quickly as she possibly can now that she's gotten through that problem that she caused. But nevertheless, she's hoping to move this thing quickly. This is a case that can't move quickly. There are too many defendants, too many problems. It's RICO. It's complicated. But Fannie Willis has done this before, and she thinks she can move it along, and she's going to try. Aileen Cannon, we know, won't. And the Supreme Court, we know, will not. The Supreme Court right now is sitting on this immunity case for absolutely no reason at all, because they know and we know the president can't have immunity from everything for all of their life. It's just not possible. And we've already seen it written up by the D.C. court. They did a great job. Everybody has praised them for their excellent opinion that they wrote. And a lot of people thought that the Supreme Court would take that opinion and just say, okay, we'll leave it at this. But they didn't, because apparently Alito and Thomas and at least two others decided they wanted to see if they could give Donald a present, a birthday present. As you know, his birthday is June 14th, so they wanted to give him a birthday present, which is delay everything possible by considering the potential for a president to have immunity for everything, forever. Come on. You know it's not going to happen. All the other courts have said it's not going to happen. And the Supreme Court is going to say it's not going to happen. So they did what they could, which is they're holding on to it. They've got an April 25th deadline for the briefing. I think it's the 25th, so 24th, right in there. So they're going to do the briefing, oral arguments, and then maybe they'll push the decision off until July 1st. They might, but it's not going to change anything. And the thing about it is, if on July 1st they come back and say, you don't have immunity from breaking the law, you can't do that. Not if it's something that is separate from your duties as president. We know that connection with the duties as president. We're not suggesting, nobody's suggesting that a president could be held responsible for the acts that they take as president. I mean, everybody would end up in jail. That's not what the purpose is here. The purpose is to get one crook out of 46. That's the idea. So the one crook we've got on the line here, we want to make sure that we reel them in. And so that's what's happening. So it's not going to have immunity, but it's going to play out all the way probably till July 1st, unless somebody turns up enough pressure on some Supreme Court justices. I'm not sure how they would, but maybe. And if they do, then that could be the difference here. That's what could move this along. So we'll see. Probably not. Probably goes out to July 1st. But you got Fannie Willis. She's going to be putting pressure to get this to trial. You've certainly got, well, again, not Aileen Cannon, but, you know, that's another story. Judge Chutkan can't do anything. He's waiting for the immunity case. So it's Manhattan. That's where we are. That's going to be the ball game. And it's going to be quick. In fact, yesterday when I was talking about this, I said, well, everybody says 6 weeks, maybe it's 8 or 9 weeks, because Donald does everything he can to delay everything at trial. But from what I heard today from the real lawyers, they explain that that's probably the reverse. Alvin Bragg is moving this very, very quickly. And there's even a chance that this won't be a 6-week trial, that it might be a 4-week trial, that we may get into this thing on April 15th. By May 1st, we could have a jury. And by June 1st, Donald could be convicted. And again, I don't think there's any doubt. Donald's going to be convicted. They've got all the evidence that anybody could ever want. I know that Donald doesn't think this is about evidence. Donald thinks that he can attack the judge. He can attack the judge's daughter. He can attack the jurors. You know, we've already been through January 6th. We know when Trump starts talking about violence through certain kinds of verbal imagery, that the violence can, in reality, be right behind the verbal images. Do you think that Donald would hold back short of encouraging violence against jurors? Do you think that? Do you think he's afraid of anything? Clearly not. So this is a dangerous situation that we're headed for. I mean, the judge has already put up this gag order for a reason. He is frightened, not personally, but for the people in his courtroom, for the people who could in any way come in contact with Donald Trump, who is a very, very dangerous man who idolizes Adolf Hitler. So would it take much to imagine that he would be threatening jurors, intimidating jurors, and suggesting that people go after the jurors? You know, in New York, that information is available, who the jurors are. This is a dangerous situation. You're dealing with a man who is clearly unbalanced in every way, unhinged, people like to say, and he has shown us every single day what he's capable of doing. He's capable of hurting people. I think he would like to. He's already told one judge that actually he would like to go to jail. He told the judge, he said, put me in jail. He wants to go to jail. He wants to gin this thing up into some kind of an imagined revolution. And before we talk about some business here, let me mention something about revolutions. All of these people who are talking about revolutions, many of them have jobs, families, maybe a gun hidden under their desk or under their pillow or something. But often, the ones I can think of who I know have guns, they're not going to fight anybody. They want to go home to their families at night. They want to watch television. They want to relax. They don't want to go around shooting. Now, there are Nazis. We've got a bunch of them in jail right now. 800 of them from the Washington, D.C. event. And there's no question, they would fight. That's 800. Call it 2,000, counting the ones that we haven't picked up yet. I'm just telling you, out of 320 million people, there aren't a couple of thousand people around who really want to get in a fight. I'm sure that is not going to happen. That's going nowhere. That may be Donald's dream, but that's a dream from another era. He better go home and read Nazi speeches at night if he wants to think about how that might work out, because that's not happening here. Our judges are going to stop that, and I'll talk to you after the break here about how the Supreme Court can help to fix this too. So first of all, you know, all this getting worked up over Donald, it could certainly get you hungry. And the place to go is Wendy's. Wendy's is in Chesterfield Valley. And after all this talking, you can get your hands on smoked meats and baby back ribs, pizza, patty melts, onion rings, all kinds of great food. So I'm just saying Wendy's is just a great place to go to relax and to forget about this mess. Because believe me, it's not going to be around that much longer anyway. By June 1st, this man may be on his way to a jail cell. So what you want to do is make sure you keep eating healthy and relaxed and enjoyable, and go visit Ben at Wendy's, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley. That's Wendy's, and the food is great. If you're looking for great jewelry, you can go to my friend Al. Al is at 4506 Hampton, and that's Jewels on Hampton, where they will buy and sell coins and jewelry, great prices, but they do much more. They will create different pieces of jewelry for you. They will fix your watches. You know, I have a 45-year-old gold Seiko that, you know, just Jewels on Hampton, boom, fixed. No problem. This is a great place to go if you're dealing in jewelry. Jewels on Hampton, Al and his son AJ, they're there all the time. You know what I say all the time about these family businesses. They are terrific, and they certainly are at Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. And you can't forget the suits and ties. You know I love my suits and ties. Got a nice blue tie here. Sort of a different kind of blue. It's really dark blue, but it's mixed with some other things. How would I even know? I'm colorblind. But I know this. If you go to St. Louis Suit Company, you will not be unhappy. They can help you with ties for $5. Great ties. $5. Donald will sell you one for $50, and it'll choke you. But these are $5 and very comfortable, and that's the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central. I don't even know if they still have those seersucker suits for $99, but it doesn't matter. They have lots of deals on suits, and they'll adjust everything for you so they fit really well. It's just a great deal, a great place for getting dressed. If you're looking for weddings, clothing for weddings, St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go. They've been there for 29 years. Jay and Nick, they're there all the time, and the rest of the family too, actually. It's a great suit company in Clayton. Go there. Okay. So we've dealt with a lot of things here so far. And one of the things that might be also interesting to think about is what's happening in the House of Representatives. Because there's a motion to vacate the speaker's position right now. And, you know, Michael Johnson is a terrible person. Horrible man. He is one of the leaders in claiming that Joe Biden did not win the 2020 election. So that's a pretty bad person, because Joe Biden did win the 2020 election. He won it by 7 million votes and by a considerable margin in the Electoral College. And by the way, if you saw the polls today, they really switched around fast. You know, Joe Biden was down by 2 or 3 points almost everywhere, including nationally, maybe 3 weeks ago. But suddenly he's ahead in all of these polls. And especially in the battleground states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And as everybody has explained, you can see this on any channel. If Joe Biden wins Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, it's over. He's the president. Those three states, he wins. Now, there are other combinations in which he could also win. But if he gets those three states, this election is over. I happen to think that the little shift that people are seeing right now is going to grow substantially in the days ahead. I think that Joe Biden's going to win by a large margin. I really do. And I'm not just even just guessing. I'm listening to what people say. You know, you've got a few crazed, scared dog food eaters who send their last dollar to Trump. And then you've got everybody else who really would like to see this country work. And that's exactly what's not happening in the House of Representatives. It's not working. Once again, the Republicans are trying to dump their speaker, and they're now down to a one-vote margin in the House. And it's interesting how this has progressed, and really, it would just take a very quick shift with some other resignations here on the part of the Republicans. And the next thing you know, you could actually have a majority in the House for the Democrats. And there were people talking about that today. There's a fear on the Republican side that that could happen, because we've been heading in that direction and we've already worked it down. We've whittled it down to a one vote difference. You shift a vote, and it's all over. So really, it's not working. And there are some Republicans here who understand that if they hang on to this idiotic collapse, that it may take them down too, even some of the moderates. So, you know, what will they do? Well, we'll see. But the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be some kind of a fight over aid to Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. $60 billion is desperately needed in Ukraine. Israel doesn't really need it, because they've got enough to do what they're doing for a long time. They've got, they're a powerful country. They've got the ability. Now, they need to learn how to use their power. That's another story, because they're getting themselves into trouble. And I wouldn't even say they're getting us into trouble, because I think Joe Biden is very clearly responding to the problem in Israel. and getting ready to not throw Israel under the bus, but certainly to put more pressure, increasing pressure, on the Israelis to knock it off in Rafah. They can't, they just can't kill everybody. They can't do it. If they wanted to do it and they thought it would work, they can't do it. It's just not realistic. It doesn't make any sense. And there's no purpose, because all that we really need is to get this thing under control by giving the Palestinians enough decent respect in the world so that they can go forward without being annihilated by Israel. Now, we know that they've brought it on themselves by attacking and murdering and raping people. Yeah, the Palestinians did it. Hamas did it. But at this point, that's no reason to blow up the entire Middle East. Get back the hostages and see if you can dial this thing down and get some peace. Somebody is going to have to enforce it. The United States, some Arabs, maybe the Chinese, somebody. And Joe Biden is trying to make a deal in that direction. It's been talked about. It's been hinted at. It's been released or leaked. I mean, everything is going on there. Because Netanyahu won't give in and act right, that doesn't mean that we won't. We put a resolution in front of the United Nations. It was blocked by Russia and China because they don't want to give us any credibility. But all that's running out of time, because Joe Biden is pushing this in the direction of having people work together and find some solutions. It's the direction that they're going in. I understand you got some young kids here and there that are angry. Sure. You've got some Arabs in Michigan who are angry. Rightfully so. They ought to be angry about what happened on October 7th, but one thing at a time. But the first thing we need to do now is find a way to allow Israel to wipe out Hamas without destroying innocent people. So that's the direction that's headed. And one thing that would really help is if the United States government was united in some sense, and that's certainly what we're not in the House of Representatives. We are far from united. We're on the edge of chaos. We're lucky that we kept the government going. That was good. Barely. And that's why this guy's got a motion to vacate in the first place. Mike Johnson, I guess, he looked around and heard a few things from some other leaders and in the House, and they told him, you can't go with MGT. That's not going to work. Or MTG, whatever they want to call her. Look, you can go with the nuts up to a point, but you're going to lose every election that you ever conceive of being involved in if you continually play with those people. At any rate, Mike Johnson's figured out that he's got to give some money to Ukraine, like $60 billion, so that they can fight the Russians off. And of course, Donald doesn't want that because that's his patron. Don't mess with Donald's mentor. But they're going to. They're going to send some money over there. They're going to find a way to do it. Discharge motion, whatever they have to do. They're going to run this thing through the House of Representatives, and this is going to move forward. And Michael Johnson knows that. And so he is trying to play both sides, but that's impossible with the crazed people, whatever they call themselves, Freedom Caucus or whatever it is, because it's hardly freedom. It's, you know, white supremacy and Nazi craziness. But the truth is that it's just not going to fly among the great majority of people in the House. And so he tried to see if he could find a way to work through this, and all he ended up with was a motion to vacate, and pretty soon they're going to be fighting over his seat in the United States House of Representatives, and they may also lose control of the House, and the next thing you know, Hakeem Jeffries will be running it. And wouldn't that be an amazing end to this mess? Because it would give the Democrats a huge win in the November election. And I'll tell you why. This, there's no question in my mind about this. Almost everybody in the country, the polls are hugely in favor of these tax credits that Joe Biden conceived of originally for young kids. The point being, you could get daycare for your kids. You could get food for your kids. You could get all the kinds of things that families need that would move these families out of poverty. You know, when Joe Biden did this the first time, this was not a COVID deal. This was just good governance. And what happened is that child poverty in the United States was rapidly reduced by 50%. There aren't a lot of people out here fighting to increase child poverty. So you've got a big deal going on here that Joe Biden would push in a second. There's a bill there. There's a bill sitting there to reestablish this. It was killed originally by the Republicans when they came in, and this could be reestablished instantly if the Democrats could take control of the House. And I assure you, they would use this in the Democratic Party to get themselves the win that they need in November. However, there's more. Because one of the things that's hanging out here right now, and it was front and center today, was this House of Representatives bill on one hand is sitting on the side, but here front and center is something much different. And this is at the Supreme Court. And there was clearly some questioning that we heard at the Supreme Court today in oral arguments over this drug, which of course they call the abortion drug. You know, the problem with this whole discussion that we're in right now, when it comes to abortion, the problem is that we shouldn't even hear the word abortion, because that's not the issue. I certainly am not waking up every day saying, how can we find a way to get people a bunch of abortions? Nobody wants it. That's not what they want. This is about women's health care. This is not just playing with words. This is really what the argument is about. And the problem with this, quote, abortion pill is not the pill. It's not the abortion. It's the FDA. And I've talked about this here before. The Republican Party is desperate to kill what they call the administrative state, or the deep state. This idiotic idea they have that there's somebody in our government that's out to get us. But the reality, when it comes to the FDA, when it comes to the FCC, which controls who gets to be on the air, which is supposed to be everybody, not limited to whoever Donald Trump thinks is fair for him. So the answer is these agencies in our government, which are operated by tens of thousands of civil service workers. That's the target. That's the target of the Republican Party. That's who they want to get. When you hear what was going on today in those briefings, those oral arguments at the Supreme Court, this is a fight over the agencies. They want to say that the FDA cannot decide which drugs are safe. So you tell me who is going to decide which drugs are safe. You tell me who's going to protect our food. You tell me who's going to protect the air. You tell me who's going to make sure airplanes land safely. It's not going to be the people in Congress. They write laws. And appropriately they do. And then somebody has to implement those laws. Do I really have to say all this? I mean, this is basic governance in the United States. This is how we run this. This is how it works. Those 435 members of Congress absolutely do not run around the country making everything work. They write laws. And then the agencies implement those laws. And they actually implement them very effectively. They have experts. They have people who know how things work. And those experts make the decisions that we need to keep everything going in the country. What you heard today, they want to describe it as a fight over abortion. This is a fight over something different. What it really is called is Chevron deference. That is the deference that we give to agencies to make decisions when Congress writes laws and then leaves it to the experts to find ways to implement the principles that they establish in those laws. That's the United States government. That's our system. It works. It has worked for decades, for generations. We don't hire people to do a job because they're related to you. You know, if you're Donald, sure. It sounds great if you've got your daughter-in-law running the RNC. Assuming that your daughter-in-law will remain loyal, which is hard to say because everybody who knows Donald knows that loyalty does not go both ways. He wants your loyalty, and if you've got that Trump name, supposedly you're on his team, you're going to protect him. But the truth is, he won't protect you. If he gets in trouble, he will take down anybody. His kids, his wife, anybody. He doesn't care. You should know that. I mean, haven't you watched this guy for years? I understand he gets on a television show and says you're fired, and you think that it's Marcus Welby getting ready to do an appendicitis operation. No. Donald's no expert in anything, except for he's an expert liar. This guy has told some fibs, some good ones. Not actually believable, but certainly amazing. I'll never forget when he was talking about China, when he was president. He said that he had worked out this amazing deal with the Chinese over tariffs and trade agreements and so forth. And at the very time when he said he was doing that, and I had no evidence at all, I said, that's not true. He's lying. Well, how did I know he was lying? Because he always lies. This guy is just a liar. He likes it. He lies when he doesn't have to lie. He lies when he gets caught and it hurts him. He doesn't really care. He just likes to lie. It's going to tear him up in this upcoming election. And if you get involved in this, if you play his game, if you expect that he's going to lie with you on the line and then turn around and protect your interests, you got to be crazy. He won't protect you. He'll protect the only person that he cares about. One person. And that's it. And that's Donald Trump. And we are all immersed in this discussion every day for a good reason, for a very good reason. It doesn't matter what your discussion is. Trump is in the middle of it. If you're talking about Ukraine aid, Trump says no. If you're talking about Israel, Trump says that if you're against Israel, you're a bad Jew. Trump says that the blood of America is being poisoned by black people who are coming from Africa. You don't believe it? Go to YouTube. Listen to the tape. He said it, and he meant it. He said he wants to be a dictator for the first day. And you think he won't want it for the second day? This man is dangerous, and that's why we're all talking about him. And every discussion we get involved in drags him into it. I say, forget Donald Trump on Ukraine aid. We need to push this thing through the House and get this money to those people so that the Russians aren't at Poland's front door in 6 months. Because if they are, somebody's going to be asking us to go fight Poland. For Poland. And I'll tell you right now, the American people aren't interested. And I don't blame them. And it won't be necessary if you stand up to Donald Trump. One thing I'm worried about, and one thing only. The stock market is high, and Donald Trump's playing games with it himself, with this special security that he's got that's gone way up in value, and he thinks he's going to make big money off of. He never has before, so don't count on it now. But I'm just saying, I worry about the stock market because Donald would use that against Joe Biden if things went south for a while. But that's another subject for another day. All I can tell you is this. As it stands now, Donald sunk and headed for jail. I'm headed out of this studio. Wendy's, Jewels on Hampton, St. Louis Suit Company, we love you. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.